Well, today, topical again. We're going to have a couple guest speakers for the next 2 weeks. We'll have Joel Willoughby with us next week from Brains and Bibles, and then Frank Figueroa with Reasons for Hope on the following week. And then we're going to dig into Romans. Really excited about that. Looking forward to getting that going. The message of Romans is so amazing, so rich, and I think it's going to be very helpful for us. Today we're going to talk about, as I said, prayer, starting the month of prayer. And so digging right in, remember last week we looked at encouragement, the action of giving someone support, confidence, or hope. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. And in Paul, with positive enforcement there, you've been very encouraging, keep it up. Keep encouraging one another. I think it's just something that's critically important for Christians to work on, being more encouraging in a dark and discouraging world. It's easy to become cynical. And boy, we can't do that. I guess cynical by faith, I suppose, is possible. You know, we see the reality of the darkness of the world and where it's heading, but by faith we know that God is on the throne and he is working. But practically speaking, as we interact with each other, we have to encourage each other. We're not going to get encouragement from the world. We have to be practically thinking of how we can look for ways to be encouraging and positive. And there's much to be encouraged about and to be encouraging about for sure in this world. Today, talking about prayer and the importance of prayer, and hopefully it's helpful looking at some sort of practical things on prayer today, as well as the scriptural teachings on it. Well, let's pray as we and ask God for help and wisdom as we unpack a couple passages today. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to speak on prayer and to think it through. And very easy to get going in life and just to have our own things that we want to do and busyness and all of that, and remember and just to forget that prayer is so incredibly important. We get to talk to you. Wow, stunning that we have your ear. You want to hear from us. It's relational. You love us and you want us to talk to you. You want us to trust you and to lean on you and to seek you. And God, forgive us when we don't. And I just pray that this would be helpful to think through times of specifically coming apart for prayer, daily speaking to you and thinking about who you are and talking to you throughout our days. And just help us and guide us by your word today, so we can do a better job of speaking and praying to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Very important part of Christian life. Jesus was praying in a certain place when he had finished. One of his disciples said, "Teach us to pray." So the disciples saw Jesus often praying, and we'll look at some of those instances in the Bible where it's recorded that Jesus prayed. "Teach us to pray." He had just spent time in prayer. You notice that in a certain place when he had finished. His disciples were near him. They heard and saw how prayer was such an important part of his life. And we're going to talk a little bit about this passage today, sort of unpack it, then have some cross-references as well. But let's read it together. Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.' And he said to them, 'Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he's his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? And if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Jesus prayed often. When all the people were baptized, when Jesus also had baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened. They saw Jesus praying at his baptism, the Mount of Transfiguration. About 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered and clothing became dazzling white. Very interesting. All throughout his ministry, we find Jesus praying. He would withdraw to desolate places and pray. He would get alone. That's a real important principle, isn't it? You think about the month of prayer. I suggested at one point earlier this year, if you have trouble with specific times of prayer, pick a place. That's your place to go pray. This is where you're going to get your mind set. And Jesus would get alone. He would go to desolate places, away from the crowds and people trying to press in on him. You know as well as I do that when you're trying to have a time of prayer, if there are distractions, you will be distracted. You will. It's easy to get distracted. Rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place there and prayed. Interesting, isn't it? The first thing that Jesus did was prayed. He started out his day by praying. That's important. You get off track and you get distracted and you find yourself at the end of the day not having a rich time of prayer. Start out by praying. Start out in the Word of God. Have a time where you can get up early and pray before you start your day. And think about how important that is, because to me, what you're saying is, I want God involved in my day. And I'm going to talk to God first. He has first place in my life. And then I'm going to go out and tackle the rest of the day. In these days, he went out to the mountain of God to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. How do you start your day? I'm not trying to be the Holy Spirit here, but just think about it. How do you start your day? Do you start your day with your phone? That's the go-to today, right? Do you start your day, I got to have my coffee, right? You get up, you stumble over to the coffee machine, right? How do you start your day? That's not necessarily wrong, but shouldn't God be first? Shouldn't you be including him? That's what Jesus did as a pattern. He went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. Wow. That's pretty convicting. The disciples saw that. He prayed for his disciples. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. In Gethsemane, he was going to the cross and he prayed, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he was telling them, watch and pray. Pray with me. On the cross, he's sitting there dying after being horribly beaten, abused, rejected, dying in the wrath of God being poured out on him. And he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He was praying. It's pretty amazing. Even as he died, calling out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He died praying. The longest recorded prayer is in John 17, and we're going to read it. The longest recorded prayer, it's Jesus praying for his disciples and actually praying for us, for all of those who would believe through their word. The longest, and this is a prayer of Jesus. Great pattern and really interesting to see how he prayed, what he prayed about, and just to think through those things as we pray. When Jesus has spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, So our Father, right, that foreign prayer he gave us in Luke 11. Our Father. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now, they know that everything you have given to me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know the truth, that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All are mine. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. And while I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them. Not one of them has been lost, except the son of destruction, or maybe yours says perdition, that the scripture may be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they may also be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, you in me, and that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these that you have sent me, I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love which you have loved me, may be in them and I in them. Wow, that's an awesome prayer, isn't it? It's so rich, you know. And I think it's convicting. Just think through as Jesus prayed. This is how Jesus prayed. What kind of elements of your prayer are in there? Are these the kind of things you pray for? Or do you find sometimes your time of prayer very rote? Pray for people that you know, pray for sickness, pray for health or help or whatever. This is just a glorious prayer and rich in doctrine. It could certainly take several weeks just to unpack it and think through what Jesus is praying for us there. But I just wanted us to notice the emphasis that Christ had as he prayed to help us, right? Help us in our prayer life. And maybe even you go home this week and take that prayer and kind of break it down and say, are these elements in my prayer? Am I praying these types of things? Am I thinking about life this way? And isn't it amazing how important Jesus takes the unity of his people? And I want them to be so unified and so one in me, just as the same as we are one. Whoa, right? And I love that towards the end. I told them your word, and I'm not going to stop telling them your word. That's convicting. Teach us to pray. Prayer was important to Jesus because it was fellowship with his Father and an example to us at the same time. Prayer should be just as important to us, and even more so because our need is greater. Our need is greater. We need God. We need him to work on our behalf. And it's very short-sighted not to pray. To try to think that we can live in this world and make it without God, without crying out to Him daily. And really, as you see the world turning darker, as you see, you know, just the evil of this world, anybody can get angry about what's going on in the world. Anybody can. But to be part of what God is doing, to pray in faith and ask God to help you and ask God to work through your prayers, incredibly important. I say it in the counseling ministry all the time. Nothing good is ever going to happen unless God does it. So what do? We have to pray. We have to ask Him to work, ask Him to do His will, and ask Him to help us. The disciples asked Jesus, how do we pray? And it's a very important part of following Jesus. Jesus prayed often. It's a normal part of Christian life. It should be something that you do every day, all day. And there should be specific times of prayer. The disciples wanted and needed instruction. Now think about it. They lived with Jesus and they got to see Him pray. And they still ask Him, teach us. Isn't that interesting? They didn't just watch. They said, we want instruction. Help us here. And give us some ideas. And so they asked. John had taught his disciples to pray. As John taught his disciples, would you please teach us? And so this, also think about this. Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. That means that there is a right way to pray. Isn't that interesting? Because sometimes you can think of prayer sort of very nebulous. Well, it's just talking to God. Hey, just talk to God. And that's okay. But that's really not true, is it? There is a right way to pray. There's a way that God wants us to pray. Teach us to pray. There's a specific way that's right, and there are ways that's not right. And that's important. The disciples also wanted the kind of prayer life that they saw Jesus had. They saw Him pray often. They saw how important it was to Him. So they wanted that. And so they asked Him, teach us this so that we know how to pray. And so Jesus did. And I think it's very important in the text. Lord, teach us to pray. He didn't say, really, you haven't learned how to pray yet? Right? He could have, right? You know what? You've been around me this long. Pick it up by now, right? He didn't. He said, when you pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Great question, right? Absolutely. I'd love to teach you to pray. When you pray, it's assumed that you will pray. When you pray. When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. So Father, in verse 2, pray to God the Father and pray to Him as your Father. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Pray to Him as your Father. Prayer is incredibly relational. That's a big part of it. You are praying to your Heavenly Father. He loves you. You are His child. Prayer is intimate, and it should be. Pray and develop intimacy with your Father through prayer. That's one of the tragedies of the Christian life, of a weak, anemic, or lack of prayer life, is that you're not relating to your Father. What is your relationship with, like, if your human Father, if you rarely or never talk to Him? It's pretty shallow or weak, isn't it? And that's the world we live in, right? Where families don't talk and you neglect those times. Pray to Him as your Father. It's intimate. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed can be a confusing word today, because maybe it sounds like Halloween, which is actually a fine word, just got twisted up. It just means that God's name is holy, it's set apart, He is pure. Praise God, you are holy. God alone is worthy of praise. Father, you're my Father, and I praise you. Your name is holy, your name is special. You are, this is the idea of being reverential. Your prayer should, and that's a part of the sort of the problem of the whole idea of, well, just talk to God as your Father. That's true. He is your Father, but He's also a holy God, right? We approach Him a little differently. He's special. He's pure. He is more than us, and we approach Him that way. God is holy, so this is awe. there's intimacy and awe at the same time. That's difficult to pull off in the world, isn't it? You know, if there's someone that you're in awe of that's a human being, it's difficult to see intimacy there. If there's someone that you love and that you know and that you have a personal relationship with, it's really improper even to have awe at that point, right? But God, we have intimacy and awe at the same time because he's our Father who is hallowed, who's holy, who's different. He's my Father who I love, who treats me as his child, but he doesn't stop becoming holy God, right? The glorious, exalted God who is above all things. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Pray for God's kingdom. Pray for God's work in your life. Did you notice in John 17 how often that's what Jesus prayed about? I pray for them to be one. I've given them your word, and I pray for them that they would know your word, that they would know you, that they would share your word. I'm going to keep on sharing your word. Your kingdom come. Pray for God's work in your life. Pray for God's work in this world. Pray for the world to submit. Your kingdom come. That's what the prayer is right there. That this world would submit to the kingdom of God. Your kingdom come. And it's also an invitation, isn't it? It's an attitude. God, I want your kingdom, and I want more of your kingdom. I want your kingdom in this world. Now think about that. That to me, we know this, right? It's foreign to us. But this is radical, all right? What do you pray for? Fix my kingdom. Fix my woes. Fix this. Fix that. God, your kingdom come. Do your will. And if my life has to be a mess to glorify you, good. That's what I want. Right? Think about that. That's radical. God, I want, you know, and it's not wrong to ask God to fix. God, change my circumstances, help me, right? Give me wisdom, all those kind of things. But whatever, at the end of the day, all I want is your will, your kingdom. That's a submission part of prayer. God, I'm submitting to you. I want what you want. And certainly it is also forward-looking because we know that God's kingdom will come in his timing. And so it's forward-looking. God, your kingdom come. This isn't heaven, I know that, and I'm praying that way. Your kingdom come, your will be done as on earth as it is in heaven. That's forward-facing. We're not in this broken world. God's will not be done on earth as it is in heaven. So there has to be a consummation there for that to actually happen. This is submission. So we have intimacy, awe, and submission in this prayer. Our prayer should have those things. When you pray, and all the time, this should be in your life, but when you have your specific times of prayer, make that goal. My goal, intimacy, awe, submission. I want God's will to be done. Give us our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us each day our daily bread in this text. Give us each day our daily bread. This is asking for God's provision, specifically provision for your daily needs. And it's interesting that Jesus told us to pray that way. Give us each day our daily bread. He didn't tell you to pray for a year's worth of food, right? Or a year's worth of provision. He told you that this should be something you're doing every day and asking God for the food for that day. And again, I think it's funny, but in the Sermon on the Mount, I think it's meant to be funny, where Jesus said, why do you worry about tomorrow? Don't you know that there will be enough to worry about tomorrow? Right? Tomorrow is sufficient for the day or its own troubles. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Sufficient for the day are its own troubles. Don't you have enough trouble today? You're going to pull tomorrow's trouble into today? That's what you think is a wise course of action? Man, you know what? There's just not enough to worry about today. I think I'll worry about tomorrow too. Right? This is faith in this prayer. This is faith. Give me my food today. I'll ask for tomorrow's food tomorrow when I need it. Whoa. That takes faith, doesn't it? I'm going to live like God is going to be the same God tomorrow that he is today. And today he's told me, I need food today, I'll ask him today. There's been some awesome examples of that throughout Christian history. Especially I'm convicted by George Mueller. He did orphanages all by faith. And they would have the kids come at breakfast and they would set out all the plates and they would sit down and they had no food. And they would say, God, thank you for breakfast. Whoa, right? Give us today our daily bread. And there's many accounts of that. God, thank you for breakfast. Right? Well, who's that? Hey, we had extra milk today. Do you guys need any? Right? Crazy. They prayed for their daily provision, and God would provide that. Now, I'm not telling you don't plan, but the prayer is this. Give us today, there's faith. Our prayer has to have faith in it. Give us today our daily bread. We're trusting you to provide for us our needs. Praying for each day's needs. Anybody can live a life where you have a cupboard full of food. Think about what life is like if you don't. And you need it today. I need God to show up today. Our friend Jason, he used to say, do you ever pray this? God, where's the rest? He said they'd pray for the orphans. They needed $12,000 and six would come in. And he'd say, God, where's the rest? Isn't that something? Give us today our daily needs. Faith. Forgive us our sins. In verse 4, forgive our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Forgive us our sins. Prayer for forgiveness. Prayer of repentance. You know, forgive us our sins. We have sins. Please forgive us for those. You should be specifically asking for forgiveness every day. The form is general, but the prayer should be specific. This part of prayer is confession and repentance. God, forgive me a sinner. Here's what I have done. I need forgiveness for those things. Matthew 6, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. So there's repentance and asking for forgiveness, admission of sin, and there's also forgiveness in that same section. We ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Jesus is telling us when you're praying, part of your prayer should be to think through who has sinned against you and forgive them. At that time, in that moment, because I forgive those who have sinned against me. Now notice this. As we have forgiven our debtors. Ouch. And here's what he's saying. Pray this way. God, forgive me just as much as I forgive everyone else. Whoa. Right? God, if I have bitterness and hard-heartedness and arrogance in my heart, don't forgive me. Would you pray that? Whoa. That's a high calling right there, isn't it? Forgive us as we have forgiven. Forgive us because we forgive. When you pray, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't, neither will he. Whoa, that's Jesus, right? That's not my opinion. I don't want that opinion, by the way, right? That's Jesus. Be forgiving. Because you want forgiven. And it's illogical, it's wrong to think that you can be hard-hearted and unforgiving and then God should still forgive you. When you have this debt and people have so little debt against you, forgive us our sins because we forgive. That should be part of it. Confession, repentance, and forgiveness in your daily prayer. And lead us not into temptation. Lead us prayer for protection in a world full of sin. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. We live in a world of sin and spiritual forces that we have no control over and no way to fight. Pray. Ask God to protect you in this mess of a world that we live in and protect against the devil. Deliver us from evil. There was a guy that started a counseling conference and gave a talk. And it's very interesting. He made an aside that I've never forgotten. And by the way, as an aside, and he said in their counseling ministry, they get so many people with problems and sins and things that come in. They say that, he said that when I go home, I pray the prayer, God cleanse me from all evil. You know, and he said, from the Psalms, you know, he said, you know, I know that's not really the context there. Search my heart, cleanse from all evil, but it's more of my own evil, he said, that cleanse me from. But he said, I just feel like it when I just get so much inundation of the evil from other people. I just say, God, protect me. Just cleanse me from all evil. Cleanse me from all evil. And look at this. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God, protect me in this world. I can't protect myself. Help me. Cleanse me from evil. Protect me from evil. I don't want the stain of this world in my life. Protect me even from temptation. God will answer that prayer. I pray that. I pray that. When I'm going through the world, God, I have no protection in myself from temptation. I need you. Keep me from temptation. Change my heart. I don't want to be tempted in this nasty world. More again of a form to follow than a prayer to recite. I think that's important. Some people have taken this prayer, called it the Lord's Prayer, and then you recite it. That's totally not the idea. The idea is to learn how to pray. God, Lord, teach us how to pray. They didn't say, Lord, teach us what to pray. Because if they did, then we would be doing that, right? We would just say these words every time. But he said, teach us how to pray. This is a form where Jesus says, incorporate these elements into your daily prayer life. Because he specifically says, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases. Why? The Gentiles do that. You're not giving us this mantra to throw out there, but he's given us a form. They think that they will be heard for their many words, right? Just say this over and over and over again. No, that's not the point. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need. It's relational. It's a form. Have these elements. Have this faith and forgiveness and repentance and intimacy and awe in your prayer and submission in your prayer. So it's a form to follow more than something to recite. Because what happens is, I think specifically why God did not give us a prayer to recite is because it just becomes something you do. He's trying to avoid that. There's no intimacy in a rote form, right? Just blah, 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 blah. And I've been in some of those circumstances where people recite that and it just sounds like, you get that monotone thing because it's a religious observance. Totally the opposite of why we have the Lord's Prayer. Pray then like this. Pray then like this. It's a form to follow. So he gave us principles then by example. And the next part of that, we're not going to spend hopefully as much time because I think that's the practicality of it. Pray like this. And I hope you wrote those things down. I'm going to go through them again. Intimacy, awe, submission, faith, confession and repentance, forgiveness, and asking for protection. Think about your own prayer life. Do you think that way? Are those things regularly part of your prayer life? This is the form that Jesus told you to pray. Those should be in there. Principles by example then. First one is persistence in 5 through 13. Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves. A friend of mine has arrived on a journey. I have nothing to set before him. And you know, don't bother me. It's late, right? I tell you though, he won't get up and give me anything because he's his friend, but because of his impudence, he will. Persistence. Be persistent in prayer. Don't give up too soon. I think that's a huge temptation, is you pray once, twice, then you give up. And Jesus is saying, be persistent. Impudence means to be without shame, bold or sassy. It's interesting that he said that you should be bold to the point of being sassy when you pray. Really? Impudent. Persistent is really what he's talking about. They're just being persistent. Don't give up too soon. Come to God with boldness. No more with no shame, is what he's saying. Shameless persistence. That's the word impudence there. Shame face and no shame. And it seems to fit the parable. The guy went to his friend's house looking for food. The guy said, go away. And he just, no, I'm not going away until you give me food. I came here for some bread for my friend. Get up out of bed and give me some, right? That's pretty bold, right? Shut up, it's late. Oh, I'm tired. Go away. No, give me some. All right, fine. I'll give you some bread, right? You know the next day his friend was not too happy about that, right? That's kind of prayer, that kind of boldness we're told to pray with. Be persistent. It seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? I mean, I don't want to come to God that boldly. And he's saying, he's your father. You can come boldly and be persistent and keep on asking him. Diligence. Ask, seek, and knock in verse 9 through 10. I tell you, ask, it will be given. Knock, it will be opened. Right? Ask, knock, seek. Now think about this, just as a negative. Who receives? The person who doesn't ask or the person who asks? Right? Who gets let in? The person who knocks or the person who doesn't knock? We have an, in my opinion, weird policy at the plumbing shop I work for. We are not allowed to ring the doorbell. Isn't that weird? It's something that we were taught by some company. You're always supposed to knock. Now, some of the times, quite frankly, it's been good because I've knocked and they have a sleeping toddler and I didn't ring the doorbell. Or dogs, right? They go crazy. In our world now, though, everybody has those digital ones, so they want you to ring, or it actually rings just because you walked up there, right? So sometimes people get a little bit frustrated by that. But if I go up to a door and they don't have a ring doorbell or a fancy one, and I just go like this, okay, I'm here, it's my appointment, and I walk up, and I want to meet these people, and I want to help them, and I want to do their work, and I just do this. Does that make any sense to you? Right? Dang it, how come no one's come to the door yet? How come they won't let me in? What's wrong with these people? What do I got to do? 2 minutes later, they let me in. Everyone who knocks, it's opened. You got to knock, right? You got to pray. Well, how come God isn't working? What is wrong here? How come God doesn't show up? What's wrong? Why isn't God doing anything? Right? You got to knock. God is just not giving me what I want. You got to ask. You got to seek. He wants you involved. Diligence. Do your part. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You want him to work. You want him to show up. Ask. Knock as if you're standing at a closed door. Seek as if something is lost or missing. God knows what you need, but he wants you to be involved. Persistence, bold-facedness, diligence, faith. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will say, no, those are $7 a dozen now. If I ask for an egg, will give him a scorpion, right? No, you don't do that. If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, see, we give. We're good to our own children. Why do we have a bad view of God? Have faith. This is about God's character. Pray expecting God to provide. It's illogical to think that a good God would give you something evil when you ask for what you need. You do it, and you're not good. God is good. Of course he'll provide. Ask in faith. Expect God to provide, and pray based on God's character. Pray knowing that God is a good God, and expect him to answer. God, give us this day our daily bread. God, I need fed today. Please provide. I know you will. Pray that way. Pray in faith. Pray with persistence. Pray with diligence. and pray in faith. Pray without ceasing every day. Be talking to God as you go through your day. Have a relationship with Him. And for the month of prayer, I would encourage you, pray regularly in the same place at the same time. Pray specifically. Use the form that Jesus laid out, that I kind of laid out for us today from this passage, with those kind of elements. Write down what you want to pray about to help yourself with faithfulness. Make sure that you're praying for what you're praying for. And just let God build these patterns into your life. And so that you sort of develop this pray without ceasing then as well. Or throughout the day, you just find yourself talking to God. You want to know a weird thing about me? I pray for plumbing. Is that weird? Of course not. God help me. I think it's humility. It's not, I can fix this and I know what I'm doing. God help me fix this thing. Help me do a good job for these customers. Please let it last, right? Pray without ceasing. Join me as we pray to close this time. God, thank you for this reminder of today of these wonderful elements of prayer. And I know I could do a better job implementing every part of that in my prayer life, and I'm going to work on that. Just help us all together to do just that, especially this month as we try to grow in our prayer life. Guide us by your word. Your word is truth. And use your Spirit to remind us of these wonderful things that we can incorporate into our prayer life this week. And I pray it'd be a rich month for us as we seek you, as we seek your face, as we cry out to you together, and as we pray for specific things together using our website and our prayer list. And please answer our prayers. Show us your goodness in this world. And God, just pray that we'd rejoice together and testify of how you've answered those prayers this month. In Jesus' name, amen.